He is risen. Isn't it great to be here this morning? If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Matthew. We're going to preach in Luke in their morning worship, but in Matthew this morning, begin chapter 27, verse 55. It's wonderful to have Pastor Pruden. What a nice surprise. So right up here, if you've met the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church, Pastor Pruden is with us this morning, and a lot of you know he was our first deacon, one of our first deacons here at Meadowlands, and we served together, and this is one of my favorite memories of this service, is saying he has risen and seeing he and Michelle say he has risen indeed. And a lot of us have been doing this. This is going on my 19th sunrise service. I'm not sure if the next pastor will appreciate that I started this tradition, but I can remember when our kids were small. I think of the McNeils who are here and us and Prudence, and you know, we've been doing this when our kids were babies, and it's a lot easier now, isn't it? It's nice when they're, I saw the Burns come in this morning. I thought, boy, I remember those days when you're trying to get all the little ones ready for the sunrise service. But it was still fun even then, and it's wonderful to be here this morning, and great to see some of our snowbirds coming back this morning, so good to see them, and just a lot of great memories getting up early on Easter Sunday. Isn't it great as you drive here and see the sun coming up? And the Bible says that's exactly what it was like when the women got together. They left when it was dark, and they arrived at the tomb just as the sun was coming up. And I think it's exciting to be here about the same time that the ladies arrived at the tomb. And it's great. We know the story. I can't imagine what that would have been like their very first time. Also really enjoyed our Good Friday service. If you were here, it was the largest Good Friday service we've ever had. I think they set up 120 seats, extra seats that were filled. And we just had a wonderful service on Friday. And if you enjoyed that, make sure you tell Pastor Jerry thank you. He set that all up. That was just a wonderful service. I don't know if you were here. I just thought it was one of our best Good Friday services we've ever had. It was just so meaningful and so special. And Pastor Jerry set all of that up. Appreciate all the people who had part in music. Lori did a lot of the piano playing. Appreciate Brittany. She can play a bazooka and a piano. That's pretty awesome. So, I was told it's a bassoon, not a bazooka. But either way, it's pretty great. So, just had a wonderful day on Friday. And I think if you were here on Friday, you know, I dress in black on Good Friday, and really it's a sad occasion to think about the price tag of our sin. But it's wonderful to get up this morning and to celebrate the fact that he has risen just as he said. And if you hear Matthew 27, we're going to begin in verse 55. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to him were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.'" Therefore, it's interesting, they knew what was going on better than the disciples did when they got to the tomb. "Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. I don't even know if he needed to say that. I think they were have been rejoicing. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Let's open in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, God, as we've gathered on the first day of the week as it begins to dawn, as these women arrived at the tomb to further embalm your body. And God, we were able to make our drive here this morning with excitement when they were coming to the tomb with sorrow. But we joined them this morning in rejoicing that you have risen just as you said. That you are alive today, that you are real. That there's another life after this life, and we know that because of the resurrection. That no matter what the challenges we face in this life, God, it's a wonderful thing to think about eternity. God, we just love you this morning, and it's a joy to get up early and come here to celebrate the most meaningful thing, I think, to each person who came this morning. God, what got us up this morning is that you changed our lives. You saved us. You promised us an eternity in heaven. And God, we've come together this morning to celebrate and rejoice in the amazing truth of the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone said the one word that makes a difference between Christianity and all other religions is the word resurrection. You know, that's what's different about our God. If you study the other religions of the world, they don't have a loving God like our God. Those weren't Christians flying planes into buildings. Those aren't Christians beheading people for ISIL. Our God is so much different. And if you've ever had the chance to go to Israel, if you ever go to Israel and go to the Garden Tomb, you'll see a tomb. They don't know for sure it's the tomb of Christ, but it is a tomb that dates to that time period. And there's a sign on the door that says he is risen. And you walk in on the back side of the door, it says, just as he said. And I think that's what's so many great things about our God. But aren't you glad there's another life after this life? You know, it's hard. What's the hard thing about death is separation. It's hard to lose a loved one. It's hard to move away sometimes. And you know what's going to be great about heaven is we have a whole eternity to be together. And the Bible says there's no death, there's no sorrow, there's no crying. And that's all true because of the resurrection. I was talking to my parents last night, and it looks like my sister may be passing away in the next couple months. And I didn't know that till last night. But you know, she's going to go to heaven. And I'm going to see her again in heaven. And that makes today even more special. And she's going to be fine someday, walking around. I haven't seen her do that in many years. But what a blessing. And that's all because of the resurrection. Why are we here? Why are a lot of us, why did we develop the friendships we have? Because of the resurrection. I mean, what we come to celebrate today makes all the difference. If you have your Bible, go to John chapter 11, verse 25. The foundation of all our hope is expressed in Jesus' own words, found in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Most who know anything about Christian history and doctrine know that Christians believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The unbelieving world has many reactions to that belief, most of them negative and all of them wrong. First is the rationalist. This person rejects the resurrection and all other supernatural elements. Man's mind is the ultimate reality to this individual. There's a lot of people who are just plain indifferent. They don't care whether it's true or not. Religion in general and Christianity in particular are of no concern to them. The greatest thing for a lot of people today will be the Easter egg hunt. totally missing the whole point of Easter. And probably a lot of us used to be there. Say, boy, the most exciting thing at Easter was the Easter egg hunt. And boy, isn't it great to get up if you're a believer and say, the most exciting thing today is to celebrate that he is risen. And I kind of did this as a two-part. So the title of the message this morning is Christ is Risen. And then if you come to the next service, it'll be Hallelujah, He is Risen. And, you know, I like that song, He arose, Hallelujah, Christ arose. And so I stole the title from that song for both of these messages. He arose, and then if you come back, Hallelujah, Christ arose. Say, boy, that's not too original, Pastor Jim. I know, but isn't it great? I mean, that's wonderful this morning. I'm glad I care. I'm glad that I'm not indifferent. I'm glad that I couldn't wait to wake up this morning at 5 in the morning and get ready and crank a certain CD that just has Easter music on it. And if you're anywhere in our house, you're going to hear it this morning. And that's just our tradition. And Christa and I, we put it in the truck and blast it all the way to church in the morning. Why? This is a wonderful thing to celebrate. I'm glad I'm not indifferent. But there are a lot of people that are. For a lot of people, the greatest thing going on today is an Easter egg hunt. How sad. And then, of course, there's people that are just flat out hostile. They denounce Easter because they simply hate the things of God. All the gospel are in perfect harmony with each other. Each comes from a different perspective. We're going to look at Matthew's perspective. And then as I'm trying to preach through Luke, we're going to look at Luke's perspective. But Matthew primarily focuses on the emotional reaction of a group of women who loved Jesus deeply. Go back, if you would, to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. First of all is compassion. The Bible tells us in verse 1, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. First day of the week would be day one in reference to the Sabbath. The Sabbath means the seventh, and so this would have been on a Sunday. The day before Jesus arose from the grave was the last divinely ordained Sabbath for his people, because on the following day, the new covenant of Jesus Christ was ushered in. It's because of the resurrection that Christians worship on Sunday rather than on the Sabbath. I'll talk more about that in the next service. Maybe you say, why do we go to church on Sunday? Is that a tradition? You know that every Sunday you come to church, you should be celebrating the resurrection? I mean, that's an interesting thought. The whole reason we worship on Sunday is because that's when Christ arose. And every Sunday you come to church should be just a little, you know, why did I come on a Sunday? Because that's when Christ arose. Every Sunday should be a little reminder of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But these ladies got up early. I know some of you, you know what I love about this service is I know some of you are not morning people. And some of you have not really woken up yet, even now as I'm speaking. But you got up early. You say, I'm not Pastor Jim. I don't get up early for anything. But I got up early this morning because it's Easter service. Now, some of you, you love this. I mean, you are morning people. This is like your service. You wish we did this every Sunday. But you're in the minority, I think, this morning. But why did we do this? You know, we got up early and we came because that's what they did. But when they got up early, and the Bible tells us they got up while it was dark, and they're heading to the tomb, but they do not know what they're going to find that morning. What's motivating them? It's a different motivation than motivated us. They've gotten up very early. They couldn't go on the Sabbath. And by the way, because it was the Sabbath and that was the day that the guard is put in place, they don't know that there's going to be a Roman guard there. They're completely unaware of the things that happened on the Sabbath because being Jews, they were following the Sabbath laws. And so they didn't know that there's a guard there. They didn't know that the rock had been sealed. And they're bringing all the spices because it would have been late on Friday when he was put in the tomb that he wasn't prepared properly. And so they've brought all of the spices to properly anoint the body. And what's causing them to do this is deep love and compassion. You know, I've done a lot of funerals, and I've been to a lot of funerals. If you know someone that really lost a loved one, especially if they've been married a long time and they lose a spouse, Is that graveside service the last time that person goes to the cemetery? What do you think? It's generally not. In fact, sometimes I've gone with some of the widows of our church. A day or two later, they say, Pastor Jim, could you go with me? I just want to go back to the cemetery. Why do we do that? We know that person's gone. But it's just something about this is where they've been laid. This is where their body is. And these ladies came with tremendous compassion. They did not come to see Jesus risen, but to look at the grave. They did not have confidence in Jesus' resurrection, but they had great love and devotion for him. What they lacked in faith, they compensated for in loving compassion, and what they lacked in understanding, they made up for in courageous devotion. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, "And some having compassion, making a difference." That's such a great verse. You know what our world needs to see? They need to see people that care. You know, they don't need to see people blowing things up. They don't need to see people beheading people. They need to see Christians who care. And Jesus Christ, in fact, do a study. Often when Jesus did something, he was moved with compassion. Remember when they're just overwhelmed, they have no time to eat, and they hop in the boat and they say, let's just go to the other side and take a break. You know, come apart and rest a while is what the Bible says. The Bible says they got to the other side and the people outwent them. And you know what the next verse says? And Jesus was what? Moved with compassion. You know, if some of us, if you've been to Israel, you can look across the lake. If you've never been to Israel, and you know, sometimes you read in here and read about the storms, you think it's going to be this lake. You can't, you know, it's long. It's very long, but it's very narrow. You can easily see across. So guess what they could see as they were rowing across the Sea of Galilee? Could they tell the people were going to beat them? I mean, have you ever been doing anything and someone's coming on this side of you and you can kind of tell, I don't think we're going to get there ahead of them? They didn't have to keep rowing to shore. Why did they? Jesus was moved with compassion. And some, having compassion, making a difference. Someone said some folks are like Easter eggs, ornamented on the outside and hard-boiled on the inside. And I think that's not the kind of Christians we need to be. That's not the kind of ladies these ladies were. As they came to the tomb, they were moved with compassion. They had great love and passion for Jesus Christ. But secondly, we see terror in verse 2. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Now, if you've ever been in an earthquake, that alone gets your attention. Several times in different parts of the world, I've been there when there's been an earthquake, you can feel. Sometimes there's an earthquake and you don't really feel it. But if you've ever been in a place where you feel the earthquake, it makes the hair in the back of your neck stand up. And the first time I was in one, things are swaying a little bit and you can feel the earth moving and you're like, what in the world is, you know it's an earthquake, but if you've never been in one, you're like, what is that? And the Bible says it's not just an earthquake, but what kind of an earthquake? I could put it this way, it's pretty high on the Richter scale. It's a great earthquake. I mean, stuff's moving. And in this massive earthquake that takes place, this great earthquake, an angel descends from heaven and rolls back the stone. That was not to let Jesus out. Jesus is already gone. When the women go in, there's no body. They don't see Jesus coming out of the tomb. They just see the grave clothes lying there. The angel didn't come down to roll the stone away to let the women, to let Jesus out. He did it to let the women in. The guards are completely traumatized in verse 4. They shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Have you ever been so scared that nothing comes out? I've shared this before, but I remember as a kid we had a basement that the stairs would come down, you could run around, and I have three sisters, and so one of my jobs as a good brother is to try and scare my sisters. And the next sister down from me was running around, and she had no idea I was down there. It was like the perfect setup. And I jumped down, went, ah! And she absolutely she froze. Her mouth was absolutely wide open and nothing came out. It was like, and as a brother, I still talk about it to this day. It was a priceless moment. What is that? You're so scared, nothing comes out. And in a sense, that's verse 4. These men are terrified and nothing comes out. They're like dead men, the Bible describes. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." That's a common phrase every time someone met an angel. You saw it all through the Christmas story when Christ came, when he comes to Joseph, when he comes to Mary, when he comes to the shepherds. What does he say to all three of those? All three of those times, don't be afraid. He says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified." And then there's sort of a mild rebuke here in verse 6. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." Ladies, why did you come to anoint his body? Don't you remember all the times he told you he was going to rise from the dead? He's not here, just like he told you he wouldn't be here. He's risen just like he told you he would. If Christ had the power to raise himself from the dead, which he did, he certainly had the power to escape a sealed grave. Just as Christ was no longer bound by the limitations of the physical world, the grave could no longer hold him. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 24, verse 31. We'll actually read this passage this morning. Often we stop with just the women, although that's what I'll preach on at the next service. But this all happened on the same day as the two men from Emmaus. They walk with, they don't know that it's Jesus Christ. And then he opens their eyes. In Luke 24, verse 31, "Then their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed.'" Isn't that a great statement? You know what excites me this morning is this is real. We have a God who's real. He's in heaven right now. He's alive. He saved our lives. He changed us. This isn't religion. You didn't come this morning for a religion. You came for a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's as real as I am this morning. And it's proven in history. And I'll even address this better in the next service. And by the way, this is the second time that people have come to the 11. And why is there only 11, by the way? Judas has hung himself by this point. So there's only 11 left. The women have already come to the 11 and all those that are with them. Now these two guys show up. And we'll see that Jesus shows up. I can't imagine what that must have been like. I mean, the night before, the crucifixion, they all scatter. Everyone, it's over. It's a disaster. Then the resurrection comes. The women come back, and Peter and John don't believe. They run to the tomb, and they look in themselves. And the Bible says Peter leaves kind of wondering, is this really what happened? And the women run and tell the 11 and all the people he's risen. And it seems like they're just hanging out, kind of hunkered down. Because these two guys come and find him later in the day and say he has risen, just like he said. And so now they're getting another report. And I love verse 36. "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.'" I can't help myself. Wow! And the Bible says, "But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit." I like verse 41. "But while they still did not believe for joy." Have you ever had something that's just too good to be true? You know, I kind of think, when you've been trying to have a child and it's just not happening. And then your wife comes and says, "Hey, I'm pregnant." And if you've been trying a really long time, you're kind of like, come on. Is this a joke? Like, no, it's not. I'm really pregnant. I mean, what does every guy need to see? Where's the test? I mean, is this for real? I mean, you want to believe it, but it's almost, is this too good to be true? I mean, there's just certain things in our life that when they happen, it's not that you don't want to believe it, but it's too good to be true. And that's what in this case, the Bible says they didn't believe for joy. It was just one of those things. If this is really happening, This is the most happy moment of our lives. And the Bible says, and marveled, and he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he opened their understanding, they might comprehend the scriptures. Look in John chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. And he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. It seems to indicate that though the two groups of people had come to the 11, by the time Jesus came, Thomas had left for whatever reason. So when they said, it's real, Thomas said, unless I put my finger in the nail print and I put my hand in his side, I won't believe. And 8 days later, Jesus shows up and Thomas is there. And he says in verse 27, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said, and my Lord and my God. You know, Thomas gave his life later for this. A lot of people believe Thomas was cut in half. Say, that doesn't make any sense unless he really saw the resurrection. But if he saw Jesus, if he became a believer... Yeah, you're going to have to kill me too. Because there's another life after this life. Why would Christians let ISIL behead them? Why wouldn't they just say they're Muslim? Why would they stand up? You know, I mean, it just seems like you're constantly reading of another terrorist attack. They went into that college and they didn't kill the Muslims. But if you're a Christian, they killed you. Why would Christians admit that? If that happens to you someday, would you have the guts to say you're a Christian? I remember years ago when I was a youth pastor, one of the first big high school shootings happened in Colorado. Two teenage boys went in and started shooting a lot of students. And one of those girls was named Carrie, and they came up to her, and they, of course, they'd gone to school with these kids, and they knew that she claimed to be a believer, and they put a gun to her head and said, are you a believer? And she admitted it, and they killed her. Her testimony has been used in a lot of wonderful ways. Why would she admit that? Why is it okay? Because there's another life after this life. You know what's so sad when we lose perspective? We think this is the most important thing in life, this life. God says, this is, you know, your life is like a breath on a cold morning. It's here and it's gone. But eternity, how many times have you told me the string starts here? I won't go through the whole scenario all the way down to the tip of South America and beyond. That's eternity. And every inch is 100 years. I hope that if we ever have to face persecution, we'll take a stand because there's another life after this life. All 11 except John were martyred. Peter crucified upside down. He denies the Lord 3 times the night he's crucified. Why would he later on be crucified upside down? Because he's not worthy to be crucified like Jesus Christ. Because there's a resurrection. There's another life after this life. If you spend all of your life on you and your stuff, you're forgetting that there's a resurrection. There's another life. Why do we sorrow but not as those who have no hope? You know, when I got the news about my sister last night, that was pretty sad. In the providence of God, last November, I had to go take care of her and got to spend all that time with her when she was still lucid. Probably the last time on this earth that I'll see her. But that's okay because there's a resurrection. You know, and sometimes we forget what it's all about. That's why I thought it was such a wonderful service on Friday. And that's why it's a wonderful service this morning. This is what it's about. There's a resurrection. There's another life. And this life is going to go by so quickly. You know, why is it worth it to lay your life down and do whatever God wants you to do for all of your life? Why is it worth it? Because in reality, this life is so short and eternity is so long. And I'm so thankful this morning there's another life after this life. In comparing the gospel accounts, it's clear Jesus had already left the tomb. The angel's garments suggest God's purity and holiness now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 28. The guards, after a brief moment of shaking, become unconscious, completely traumatized by what they've seen. And the angels remind the ladies, it is just as Christ has said, and commands them to go and tell the disciples who are hiding in Jerusalem. They refuse to believe that Jesus would die and be raised, although he had told them of his death and resurrection many times. You ever wonder why the women and not the disciples? I mean, we read this so many times, but why aren't the disciples here? Isn't that interesting? So how come the women got to be there? I mean, it's pretty simple, because they were. The closer a believer stays to the Lord and to his work, the more he's going to witness and experience the Lord's power. Those who are there when the Lord's people gather for worship and prayer, who are there when God's word is being taught, who are there when the lost are coming to Christ, who are regular in their times of private prayer, those are the ones who will most often experience firsthand the work of God. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to see. I want to see it myself. You know, I probably would have been like Peter and John. I got to go see this for myself. I got to go to the tomb myself. But I would encourage you, don't go through your Christian life hearing what God can do. Go through your life and see what God can do. And if you're going to see what God can do, you got to be there. Remember the sermon in the book of Acts where the man was sitting on the ledge? And it was a long sermon. You think, I preach a long time. This guy, there was a long sermon, and he got tired. And as the sermon went on, he fell asleep. And when he fell asleep, he fell out the window. And, of course, he got healed. But, you know, people say, well, why did he fall out the window? Well, it's pretty simple. More of him was hanging out than hanging in. And I think sometimes when we go through our Christian lives, we hear what God does in other people's lives. We hear, and by the way, if you've been at Meadowlands, you've had a front row seat to some amazing things if you've been here. You know, every single year for 18 years, we come to this Sunday with people who got saved in the last year. You know, there are people, right? There are people in this service this morning who weren't saved this time last year. And this is their first Easter as a Christian. You know how special that is? I mean, not every church gets to see that. That's exciting. We've had a front row seat of what God can do. Wasn't it great to see the sun starting to come through the window this morning? I mean, we can recount all kinds of things that God has done over the years here. But you only enjoy it if you were there. I mean, it's great when we read about the great things God's done in the past. I mean, when you read about God taking them through the Red Sea on dry land, I want to see that when I get to heaven. I want the replay. I mean, it's great when you read about it, but what must it have been like to actually be there? I mean, it's great to read about the resurrection, but what must it have been like to be in the room when Jesus shows up and says, peace to you? Yikes! Is this real? Jesus, is this really you? They're looking at, are we seeing a spirit? I mean, is this really you? I mean, we were just with you 3 days ago when they killed you. We saw them take you down from the cross. Are you really alive? I mean, for joy, they couldn't believe. Said, hey, let me show you how real I am. Do you have any food? I like something to eat. By the way, dead men don't do that. Why did Jesus do that? Did he do it because he needed to eat something? I don't think so. He's trying to prove, I'm alive. I'm real. And I would challenge you, God wants to still do great things today. Make sure you're there. Don't go through your whole life. You know, we can read about George Mueller. I mean, there's great men in history. You can go through your whole life reading about what great things God can do. Let me challenge you this morning. Make sure you're there. I mean, if you've been here at Meadowlands, you know, as I just think about the families of those of us who've had our kids since little babies, bringing them here to Sunrise Service and seeing what we've seen over the years. If you've been here, we've all been able to see God do some amazing things. I mean, we've seen God give us $1 million in one check. We've seen hundreds of people saved. We've seen God take us through hard times. We've seen God give us tremendous blessings. We've paid off mortgages 3 times in my 18 years here. I mean, you could just go on and on and on of all the things that we've seen. We've seen 3 churches planted, another one in a month from now. I mean, these are the works of God. Don't miss out. Don't be someone that just hears what God can do. Make sure you get to see it. And if you're going to see it, it's not rocket science. You just got to be there. Why did the women get to see it? They were there. You know, no one else got to see the angel. When Peter and John get there, the angel's gone. I mean, just to see an angel in your lifetime, if you had a bucket list and that was a possibility that you could, how many of you put that on your bucket list? So you know what? If it could work out, it'd be pretty cool to see an angel on this side of heaven. Only the women got to see that. Why? Because they got up early and they were there. Next we see great joy, chapter 28, verse 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. When Mary told the other apostles about their encounter, they did not believe her. We know that from Mark 16:11. Take your Bible and just go, Mark's the next book. Mark chapter 16, verse 11. Back up in verse 10. So she went and told those who'd been with her as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. I mean, you can't blame them to some degree. In some sense, though, I mean, how many times did Jesus, we'll look at this in the next service, repeatedly before his death, a week before, he said, I'm going to die and I'm going to raise again. I mean, this wasn't something he hadn't tried to teach them many times. Have you ever had someone try and teach you something and you just didn't get it? I mean, the disciples, they've heard this over and over again, but they just don't get it. And so when she shows up and says, you're not going to believe this. We were just at the tomb and he's alive and had been seen by her. Remember that moment? She thought he was the gardener. And she says, what have you done with the body? I just went to the tomb and he's not here. What'd you do with the body? And the Bible says, then he opens her eyes. And she realized he's not the gardener. It's Jesus Christ. What an amazing moment. Their disbelief clearly proves they had no intention of stealing Jesus' body in order to produce a counterfeit resurrection. But I want to tell you, and this is, you know, a lot of you have heard me over the years, how many times I said, don't be an Eeyore Christian. I believe that when you're right with God and close to God, it brings great joy. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. What's this? Love? What's number two? Joy. When you are close to God and you're seeing God do great things and you're seeing him work in your life, it will often bring great joy. And why are there Christians, people who say they're Christians, that walk around like Eeyore? Because, you know, why does God answer prayer? You know the 2 reasons God answers prayer? That he might be glorified and that your what might be filled? Joy. If I asked you to write on a piece of paper the greatest answer to prayer you've ever had up to this point in your Christian life, would you put some pretty cool things down? Do you realize this morning you should be able to? Every Christian should be able to put some cool things down where God answered an amazing prayer. And God says, the whole reason I do that, when it's an amazing prayer, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, you know, something more, you know, God bless this food to my body. A lot of us look pretty blessed by that prayer, all right? But I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about you need God to answer a prayer. I mean, it's a burden on your heart. You need an answer. and you cry out to God, and he answers that prayer. When you get that kind of an answer, God always gets the credit, and your joy is always maxed out. You're just like, I just can't believe. I mean, I could, again, go on and on and on about answers to prayer like this. I think of praying for people. I mean, just let's just talk about people. I think of Manuel Russo. David and I worked a long time. None of us worked as much as his wife did. But, you know, a lot of people put a lot of prayer. And now here's Manuel in our church, leading adult Sunday school class, teaching Patch on Wednesday night. Great friend. That's a huge answer to prayer. And but I remember the days when Renee came by herself. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And now every Sunday we see an answer to prayer. And when he got saved, did God get the credit? And was our joy full? I mean, we could just keep going on. I think of Kelly McNeil. Remember when she has a different religious background. And she came on a Sunday and preached on hell. Not generally the best service for a first-time visitor. And I finished that service and I said, "If put your heads down, and if you're interested in you want to hear about Christ, look up." And she just looked up and stared at me. And didn't look back down, just stared at me the whole time. I thought, is she a tough nut to crack. She is a stubborn person. Not knowing that it was because God was working in her heart. And having the joy of going over to their home and sitting down 2 weeks later. In fact, she canceled. We booked an appointment, they had to cancel. And I was like, yep, I didn't think she was serious. And it wasn't at all that she wasn't serious. And then we got together and she trusted Christ as her Savior. I mean, I could just keep going around the room. But what are those things? Does that bring you joy today as much as it did back then? It does for me. I think it probably does for Renee. It probably does for Justin. And probably, and you just start looking around and say, what great answers to prayer we've had. I mean, our IT guy sitting in the back. David worked here for years. And last year he trusted Christ as a Savior. And if you spent any time with David, there's a difference. In fact, I don't know how the rest of you feel. It's just hard to hang out with David and not get a smile on your face. I mean, David just is, he got it. He's excited about being a Christian. I remember he hadn't been saved that long and someone had a baby and he sent out an email to the whole church, if you can take a meal for a new mother. And I don't know why we happened to be talking the next day. And he goes, "Hey, yeah, I'm taking a meal over to this couple." And I said, "You are?" I said, do you know them? He goes, "No, I have no clue who they are, but I got the email and I signed up." And I was like, wow, isn't that great? That's a Christian who just says, "Hey, the church says this is something I can do." And I want to challenge you that when you're with Christ and when you're seeing answers to prayer, it's going to be like verse 8. There may be fear sometimes, but there will always be great joy. There is a great joy in being where Christ is and seeing what he can do. And let me challenge you, live your Christian life that way. Very quickly as we come to the next verse, not only is there great joy, but there's worship. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Do you love God this morning? I mean, of all Sundays, how can this Sunday not be one where we just stand in awe of our God and just say, boy, I came on this first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection. I came to worship him. I thought the congregational singing was fantastic on Friday. I trust that in our next service, the congregational singing will be fantastic as we worship God. As we come to say, God, we just want to sing to you. You know, when you sing that song, "Christ Arose," I just can't sing that softly. I don't care that I can't, that I don't have a great voice. I don't care that I'll never cut a CD this side of heaven. I'm going to sing "Christ Arose" at the top of my lungs this morning. Why? Because I'm come to worship. You know, we come to church for God. And we've come this day to worship him. And as these women saw Jesus And Jesus says to them, rejoice. They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Those nail-imprinted feet. And as they saw those nail prints, but they touched those feet, they couldn't help but worship. I think this morning that if we would worship God, it would change how we live our lives. A lot of us live our lives without worship. We're busy. I think busyness is one of Satan's greatest tools. He just keeps us so busy that we don't have good devotion time. We don't have good prayer time. We don't have time to serve at the church. We're just too busy. And the problem with being too busy is that we don't worship. You know, every funeral that I do, most of the time, you didn't plan for it. Funerals are divine interruptions in our lives. If you go to a funeral, you probably didn't have it on your calendar 2 weeks before. But a loved one or a coworker or a friend passes away and you go to the funeral and it interrupts your life. You have to take time off work or you come at night and maybe you have to travel if it's a family member and it just interrupted your life. It wasn't in your schedule. And when I preach at a funeral, I tell people this is a divine interruption. It's an opportunity to think about what happens next. And I hope that this Sunday is a divine interruption that gets you to worship God. And say, hey, this the resurrection, this Sunday, this is what it's about. This is what makes Christianity different than every other religion. We go to Israel to see an empty tomb. You can see a mausoleum. You can see Buddha and Muhammad, Joseph Smith. But you can't see the body of Jesus Christ because he's risen just as he said. And I believe if you really believe in your heart that there's a God and that he rewards those who diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6, that it would cause you to worship. You read this and you go, if I was there, how could I not worship? I mean, if I was there, I Pastor Jim, when Jesus says rejoice, I kind of have to tell you, I would be rejoicing. I'd be falling down and grabbing those feet. But can I challenge you, can we worship without being there this morning? Can you have that same joy and that same passion? It was such a blessing to got saved when I was 19. And Joan, Beth, and I, as we were driving in, I mean, that's our tradition, is playing that CD. And you know, you play that every sunrise service. And over all the years we've been at Meadowlands, it's connected to a lot of great memories. A lot of sunrise services that we've gotten up, and that's what we do. And as we drive to church, and you could see just the faint light in the sky as we drove this morning, and just start thinking, boy, this is about the time the women would have arrived at the tomb. It just makes you want to worship. And lastly, as we close, is hope, verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The future is hopeful because of Easter. They would see Christ again. You know, we don't know what the future holds. None of us do. But it's always hopeful with Christ. The best is still ahead. And when you know that the best is still ahead, there's always reason to hope. Again, that's why you shouldn't be an Eeyore Christian. That's why you should be glasses half full, not the glasses half empty as a Christian. You know, do we go through challenging things in this earth? Yes, we do. But you know what? The future is always hopeful because he's risen just as he said. You know, there was great joy at the coming of Christ. We see that in Matthew 2:10. There was great joy at the resurrection of Christ, Matthew 28:8. There's great joy at the ascension of Christ, Luke 24:52. And there's great joy at the conversion of the Gentiles, Acts 15:3. And because of all of this, we have great hope. I like what he says, if we have hope in this world only, we are of all men most miserable. If your only hope was what Christ could do in this life for you, we would be of all men most miserable. But there's tremendous hope this morning. I don't know what heartache you have. I don't know what challenges you have. I mean, just think of Michelle Pruden. When the Prudens first came here, she was totally fine. I remember the phone call when she went in the hospital, driving up with David, and we didn't know if God was going to bring her through. She went into intensive care, and God brought her through, but she was diagnosed with MS. But someday she's going to be fine. And we may have some challenges in this life, but it's always better when you know there's a resurrection. That no matter how challenging this life is, I'm going to see my sister walk again. And she knows it, and I know it. There's hope. And I praise God for that. I've joked around, and my family jokes around, when I die, I want them to have an open coffin with a fork in my hand. And when people walk by and see that fork, they say, well, what in the world does he have a fork for? Remember when you go to someone's house, and you finish the meal, and someone says, save your fork? What does that mean? There's dessert. And when people walk through and see me in that coffin with a fork in my hand, and you say, what in the world does he have a fork in his hand? Hey, there's dessert. And I don't know where I'll get buried now. I thought I'd be buried here. Might not be as funny somewhere else, but I told my family, I've said it enough that it'll help our Meadowlands people if I died. It'll help them to walk by and see that fork, because they'll start laughing and they'll remember what I told them. And they remember, hey, dessert's ahead. And when heaven is ahead of you, there's always hope. And what a great way to live your Christian life. I hope this morning that you have joy. I hope you came to worship. I hope you have tremendous hope. And we have all of those things because of Jesus Christ. One of the best friends I have are in this building today. That's because of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous blessing for what he's done. Let's close in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you on this first day of the week, to remember what you did for us on the cross, but to come today and remember what you did on this Sunday morning thousands of years ago, that you rose from the dead just as you said, that you are alive and real, that we haven't bought into a religion, we haven't bought into some man-made teachings. But God, we have come to love a Savior who died and rose again so that we could have eternal life. And God, I believe almost everyone in the room this morning knows you as their Savior. God, if there is anyone here who doesn't, I pray that they would sincerely think about that, that they would think about the point of life and the purpose of life. And God, as we've gathered this morning very early to remember what you did for us on the cross and remember that you rose from the dead just as you said, God, may we have great joy this morning. May we worship you from our hearts this morning. And God, may we have tremendous hope. I know that there's some people going through some difficult times this morning. I know there's some people with some heavy hearts this morning. But God, I pray that they were encouraged as they reflected on the resurrection. That they would have hope that in spite of the challenges that they're going through right now, that no matter what happens, even if it's death, there is a resurrection. There's another life after this life. And God, as we go through this life, may we remember that. May we have the joy that these women had. And may we worship you because you are who you say you are. God, we thank you for the food that's been provided this morning. We thank you for Lakshman and those who are helping him this morning, who came even earlier than we did to begin making a breakfast that we could enjoy and fellowship around. And God, we thank you for their hard work. And God, as we have this opportunity to eat and fellowship together, Lord, we thank you for the food. We thank you for how good you've been to us. God, we thank you for being in a ministry where we have seen you do amazing things, where we have seen you answer our prayers in amazing ways. And God, if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't had great answer to prayer, God, I pray that they would analyze that and that they would start praying for great things and that they would see you do great things. God, sometimes we have not because we ask not. And God, I pray that you would light a fire in our hearts. And God, as we rejoice this morning, may it last all year. And God, though we may be getting together with family and having a good meal and doing other things later today, may the meaning of this day not be lost on any of us. Thank you for keeping your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.